You can read your Bible and talk about the Bible and go to Bible study. Doesn't make you a Christian. And you can claim all of these things that these people he's talking about are claiming. Doesn't make you a Christian.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is False Professions and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
False professions, Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, and I am reading out the ESV today. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Heavenly Father, we pray, O God, that you will open our hearts to receive your message today. We pray, God, that this message will be rooted into our hearts and that we will be able to carry it forth out into the world, making disciples through your teachings. I pray, God, that you will anoint me to speak your words and not my own. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Okay, so still continuing his Sermon on the Mount, Christ gives yet another warning. Now, if you remember, we were talking about false prophets, okay, last week. Today, we're talking about anyone who comes along and says that they are a Christian. They could also be a prophet. They could be a minister, a pastor, but they can be anybody that claims they're in the church. Anyone who claims they are a Christian. This includes everybody. And Jesus is warning us about them. So this time he warns us that not everyone who professes him is actually going to be saved, but rather these people are lost souls who fool themselves and others into believing they are God's children. So what he is saying is that anyone can talk like a Christian, and anyone can appear outwardly to be a Christian, and anyone can invoke the name of Jesus, but yet not have him in their hearts. Okay? The Bible says that God judges us by our hearts, right? Not we people, it says. We judge one another by the outward appearance, but God looks at our heart, okay? And so he knows what's in a person's heart. However, there are false prophets out there, and there are false people who claim that they love God and that they're working for God. Okay, so more than words, let's look at Matthew 7:21. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. How many people in your life has called you a friend only to do something to hurt you? They smile to your face. They're kind to you when they're around, but inside they cannot stand you. They say they trust you, but they don't. They say that you can rely on them, but you can't. They say that they're your best friend, but they're not, okay? But their words sound very convincing. We have people in the world today that will say, I love God. I love church, and I just love everything about Jesus. but they're not his friend. A person's words do not always reveal their true heart, their true status, nor their true motives. Not everyone that comes to me. Okay, so Matthew 15, 8, Jesus says this, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Many people profess Jesus falsely out of ignorance, greed, pride, self-gain, or for recognition. These are motives that would make somebody say, "Well, I love Jesus." But see, they're trying to get something in return for saying that, for pretending to be that way. I'm not trying to make anybody in here paranoid about Christians and whatnot. I'm just telling you that we have to check ourselves first to make sure that we don't fall into any of this. Okay? A lot of people say, yeah, Jesus is cool, but they're ignorant. They don't even know who Jesus is. They're just saying, well, I'm going along with the flow. It looks innocent, but they're following Jesus and they're not really knowing why. Okay? Other people, they see an opportunity to be greedy, to take advantage of somebody. Other people, they just say, oh, I'm going to be a big-time preacher man, and I'm going to have pride in this, and I'm going to be having millions of people listen to me on TV or whatever, or I'm going to make a lot of money doing this, or I'm going to be recognized for doing this. All wrong motives. Being a good person or doing good works does not make one a Christian. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do good things for people. But I'm just telling you, there's a lot of people out there that do good things. The last time any one of you went to a doctor, he did something good for you. I hope he did, okay? I'm hoping that he fixed your problem. But he did a good work, did he not? But he may or may not be a Christian. And what he did for you medically will not get him into heaven, okay? God is not going to look at his medical profession and say, hey, look at that. You did really good work down there, so I'm going to let you in. However, now we're talking about good works and how they don't make you a Christian. However, false profession is evident by disobedience to Christ. Now, see, there's a flip side to this, okay? Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you?" So what Jesus is saying is, yeah, good works isn't the indicator solely that you are a Christian, but disobedience is a good idea that you're not. So if you're living a disobedient life to Jesus, it's a pretty good chance that you're calling him Lord for no reason at all. He's questioning you with this. You're living in disobedience to me. You're calling me Lord, but you're disobeying me. Why would you call me Lord? So doing God's will, Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So let's look at this for a moment. The will of the Father is that we believe in Jesus and therefore are saved because of that belief. John 6:40, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." If you want to know God's will in your life, this is it right here. This is the first and foremost thing that God wills for your life. I don't know how many of you in here have done this, but I have done it. "Lord, what is your will for my life?" Well, this sums it up right here. This is the very first and foremost thing in your life that God wills, because without it, nothing else counts. If you do not believe in Jesus and you are not saved because you don't believe, then all of the other things that you pray for from God are going to mean nothing, because you're going to lose it all in the end anyways. You see what I mean? So this is the will of the Father. Now, God commands good works from those who believe. If you're a Christian, then God commands us to do good things. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer. He is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So what James is saying is, you can talk about God all day long, and you could do a lot of praying, and all that's important. But if you're not doing what God told you to do, where's your blessings going to come from, right? We go to work so that we can make a living, right? We go to the gas pumps to put gas in the car so it'll go. We don't just talk about putting gas in our cars, do we? We actually have to go to the gas station and pump it, don't we? Well, what James here is saying is that we as Christians, we have to do good works in order to back up what we're claiming that we're like. See, you know somebody by the way they act, right? And if somebody's hollering, I'm a Christian, but you don't see any Christian works coming out of them, you have to question that. Because Christian means to be Christ-like. And Jesus did good works. And if we're Christians, we're Christ-like, we should be doing what Jesus did. Praise the Lord. Okay. The faith that says do, but does not, is the faith of unbelief. So if somebody comes up to you and they say, I'm a Christian, well, okay, I know that Christianity states that we should do this and we should do that. Oh, yeah, but I don't do those things. That's the faith of unbelief. That's not Christianity. Christianity is loaded up with a lot of things that the Christian is supposed to be doing. Coming to church is one of those things. That's just one of those things, okay? Proclaiming the gospel and making disciples, that's commanded for everybody to be doing. We're all supposed to be talking. It's not just the pastor's job, right? The pastor is supposed to load you guys up with the information, and you guys are supposed to go out there and bring them in. Praise God. So there's lots of things as Christians we're supposed to be doing, but we're not doing them to be saved. Good works are an expression of our love for God and for people. Those who truly love are those who truly know God and he knows them. 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's a pretty powerful claim there, isn't it? That's the Holy Scriptures telling us that anyone who does not have love in their heart doesn't know God. Because God is pure love. God is pure love. There's no hate in him for people. Sin hurts people. So God hates the act of sin. But he doesn't have hate for people. God so loved the world, right? That he gave his one and only begotten son. Okay, so Christ is telling us that there will be many who profess good works, but their works will not be a result of their love for him, but rather love for self. So the motivation that these people have is for themselves. Okay, this is what Jesus is talking about, that these people have a motivation that has nothing to do with the love for him. Now, I've mentioned this before. Ministry is hard work. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. I'm saying that one of the reasons why it's so hard is because if it was easy, everybody would be doing it for gain. It's those who suffer through it that you look at and you say, wow, they must have something besides self-motivation. Something else must be compelling them, because I would have been gone a long time ago, because they're getting nothing for this. It's a lot of work and very few gains. Jesus only ministered for 3 years. And then he died on the cross. 3 years. That's how long his ministry was. But he suffered more than anyone, didn't he? He suffered through that ministry, didn't he? It was a lot of hard work. And he didn't have a place to lay his head at night, the Bible tells us. Okay, a closer look. Matthew 7:22, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Listen to that. It's a lot of bragging, isn't it? These people, they believe in the works, not Jesus. Okay? They trust in prayer. They trust in prayer to save them. They're believing that I'll pray and I'll pray and I'll pray and I will be ritual about it and I will just pray and that will save me. They believe in church attendance. If I just sit in the church long enough and I do it without missing a beat, why, God's going to save me. They believe in giving. If I give enough to people, if I give enough to the church, why, that will buy my way into heaven. Yes. They believe in religious ceremonies. I'll get baptized 10 times a year. That'll do it. I'll wash my sins away. Yes, I'll take communion and I'll do all the religious works that God requires me to do in ceremonies. Yes, yes, yes. They believe in witnessing. I know what I'll do. I'll get a bunch of people into heaven. Yes, and then God will reward me by letting me in. Teaching the word. They trust in that. They trust in how they dress. Well, I look like a Christian. I look better than most people in my clothes, so I think God will let me in. Yes. Confession. I tell God all of my faults. Surely he'll let me in because of that. I'm ritualistic. I do the same religious act over and over again every day, and I do it perfectly. God will let me in for that reason. I've got an idea how to get into heaven. I've got formulas that I could use. I've got tricks. I could trick my way in. Right? So we got formulas. Godly appearance. I'll just look like a Christian. Everybody will believe me and God will be fooled too. Rules. I'll follow all the rules of the Bible. I will never, ever make a mistake. Christian activities. The church is having a bake-off. I'll be there. The church is having a dinner. I'll be there. Church activities. Christian activities. Anything that has to do with Christianity, I'm active in it. That'll get me into heaven. Helping others. Surely God wants us to help one another. And so if I'm a big enough help for everybody, God will look at that. Works. So notice in this scripture, their confession involves them, not Christ. Notice the I in the form of we in the verse. In Matthew 7:22, it says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Let me tell you something. If you're prophesying, it's God doing it through you. And Jesus is talking about the people that are coming to him and saying, didn't we prophesy? No, you didn't prophesy for God. God prophesied through you, but you didn't do the prophesying. And so these people turn it around and they say, didn't we do it? No. Anything that God does through you, he did it. Amen? He's talking about the people who come up and claim the works for themselves. Didn't we? Now notice, work is lifted up and not grace. Again, Matthew 7:22. And do many mighty works in your name. They're counting on their mighty works. They were doing all of this stuff out of their own power, making this claim that didn't we do this and didn't we do that? Look at these mighty works. Look at them, God. Surely you let me in because of that reason. Wrong answer. Doesn't work that way. These people reject the power of God who saves through Christ. Nobody comes to the Father except through the Son. Period. Your works, your good deeds, your ideals, even your good intentions are nothing to God. It's Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people. Timothy was a young minister. And Paul wrote this to him. And he was telling Timothy that there's people that look like Christians and talk like Christians. But you know what? They come with a false gospel. They come with works. They come with ideals that are so far off the chart, you don't even get around them. Stay away from these people. Because you know what happens if you don't stay away from these people? Well, you know what happens, right? When you're around the wrong crowd, you start talking like them. You start acting like them. You start acting the fool. People rub off on you. When I was a little boy, my mama used to tell, she used to come up to me and she would say, you got the wrong friend or something. Why? Because you changed. You're acting different. You're talking back. Right? And she was right every time. Every time I talked back to my mama, she'd ask me, who's your new friend? Avoid such people. Listen, if you're a Christian and you got people that have the appearance of godliness and you know they're fake, walk away. Walk away. This is Paul talking to Timothy, and he's given him the command to do this. This is for all of us to read. That's why God preserved it in the writings. It's for all of us to hear. Avoid such people. Okay, what do you mean when you say, Lord, Lord? I'm asking you guys this. What do you mean? Do you mean great teacher when you call Jesus Lord, Lord? Do you mean great prophet when you come to Jesus and call him your Lord? Do you mean great example? Great example. When you call Jesus Lord, Lord. What do you mean? Or do you mean God himself in the flesh? The payment in full for the sins of the world. That's the right way to come to Jesus. That's who he is. The moment that we fail to recognize that is the moment that we are still lost in our sin. Jesus said that there was one unforgivable sin. Anybody know what it is? Blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. That's denying that Christ is the Savior. That is denying that God saves. That's why it's unforgivable. If you deny that Jesus is the only way to the Father, it's unforgivable. But you don't repent from that and you die in that sin, it's done. All of the sins, Jesus said, will be forgiven man. Isn't that generous of God? He's willing to allow you to get away with every single thing that we have done in our lives except for one thing, unbelief. Blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is to say that God does not save you, that you did it on your own. I can't save myself out of anything. We have to submit ourselves to Jesus and to his teachings and to his commands. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. How can we come to somebody and say, you're my Lord, and I trust in you, but I'm not going to do what you tell me to do? Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you doing what he's told you to do? Once you know what he wants you to do, and you don't do it. So those who claim they love Jesus, they don't acknowledge him if they don't acknowledge him as Lord over their lives. If they're living in deliberate sin against him, that's a false profession. So let's look at this. One man believes he is forgiven through Christ's death. And he believes he will live because Christ is resurrected and lives. Jesus said, you live because I live also, right? Because I live, you will live also, he says. Now this person's works are done because he is saved. This is the first example. So you got one guy that's doing all of these great things, but he's doing it out of thankfulness that he's saved, out of obedience, out of love. He's doing his good works, and people are looking at him. What keeps this guy going? I don't know. He's motivated by Jesus. He's motivated by love. That's all he cares about is just loving people and taking care of them and working hard at his ministry, wherever he's at. Why? Because he's saved. See, God delivered him, and he's so thankful, he wants to do something back. Not because he has to, but because he desires to. And we got the second guy. Another man believes his own works. Good deeds and self-righteousness delivers him from sin. He does works to save himself, denying God's power. This second person looks around and says, I don't need God. I don't need to read the Bible and listen to what God says. I can do my own thing. And God understands everything that I do that's wrong because of all the perfect things I do right. And he weighs them out and he says, okay, you did so many good things, I'm going to let you slide with the bad. And that's the wrong attitude. Both of these examples know who Jesus is. But not both of them acknowledge the power of God through Christ. The rejection of false profession. Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23 reads, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So let's look at this, okay? Jesus is not rejecting good works, nor is he calling the work these people claim to have done to be evil. Rather, he's rejecting their good works as a means to enter the kingdom of heaven. So he's not saying the things that you did were evil when he calls them evildoers. He's just saying that trying to use that as a way to get into heaven, I'm rejecting that. Okay? He's rejecting the notion they did any good works under his authority. You see, you can do something that's Christian-like, but that doesn't mean God told you to do it. Am I right? Moses was told to speak to the rock, and he hit it. He still got water from the rock, but he didn't do it God's way. He got results, but he didn't do it the right way. So you can do Christian works. You can give to the church. You can tithe. That'll make you a Christian. You can come here and you can build things for us and repair things for us. That make you a Christian. Those are things Christians do, though, right? You can sit in the church. Doesn't make you a Christian. You can read your Bible and talk about the Bible and go to Bible study. Doesn't make you a Christian. And you can claim all of these things that these people he's talking about are claiming. Doesn't make you a Christian. So, if God didn't tell you to do something and you do it anyways, you didn't do it under the authority. He didn't give you the authority to do it, so why are you doing it? He's also rejecting the claim they did everything they claimed they did. He said they'll come to him and say, did I not cast out demons? Who says they casted out demons? They said it. Did they really do it? Didn't say they did cast out demons. A lot of people come to me and they're like, how did they cast out demons if God wasn't with them? Who says they cast out demons? They said it to him. They'll say it to him. That doesn't mean they did it. They thought they did. In the book of Acts, somebody got beat for trying to cast out a demon without the authority of Christ. So he's rejected the claim they ever did any of those things they're claiming to do. He's rejecting the people who make this false claim because they never accepted him and remain in their sin, evildoers. Listen, no matter what you do for God, if you reject His Son, Jesus Christ, you're still in your sin. You can't get out on your own. You can't get out by yourself. And to sit there and to think that you can get out of sin by yourself, that you're good enough for God, that is not going to happen. Sin has a penalty. God stated that in the book of Genesis. When we sin, we're separated from Him. And He told Adam and Eve that if they didn't listen to what He had to say, they would surely die. When God created people, we were created never to die, to live forever. The Bible says that God sets eternity on the hearts of men and women, right? I know that if anyone ever took time to think about their death, it's hard to see yourself dead. Because that's not the way you were created to be, right? You were created to live forever. But sin brought death into the world. And it's appointed for man to die once, the Bible says. Everybody has to go through that. Jesus had to go through that, did He not? He died, didn't He? The difference is that He was resurrected and He says, I'm alive forevermore. And because He lives, we shall live also. Anyone who rejects that is rejecting the grace of God. It's so simple a child can understand it. And it's so free that anybody can get it. Jesus is the only thing I know of that the more of Him I give away, the more of Him I get back. Because every time I share the Word of God with people, I feel the presence of God around me. People like to joke, Pastor, you preach too much. Well, I'm going to praise Him. David said that my lips will praise You continuously. So if you want to pick on me because I preach too much, too bad. Stay away from me because that's who I am. That's who I am. This is the way God made me. I'm a preacher, okay? I'm not going to apologize for myself, but I'm just saying, all right? Okay. So in conclusion, those who falsely profess Christ never turn from their sinful nature. They never turn. They're still the same person. They haven't changed their lifestyle. They haven't submitted to God. They haven't obeyed His commandment. They haven't truly believed in the power of God to transform their lives. They remain in their sin by never acknowledging Jesus as the true Savior. They remain in their sin by their belief in their own works rather than believing in the work of Christ and what He did on the cross for us.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.